You're listening to the Gateway Family Church Podcast. This is the place to find the latest thoughts from Gabriel and Mike Wright, the lead pastors of Gateway Family. Here we go.
Isaiah chapter 40, starting at verse 12. And it says, "Who else has held the oceans in his hand? Who has measured off the heavens with his fingers? Who else knows the weight of the earth or has weighed the mountains and the hills on a scale? Who is able to advise the Spirit of the Lord? Who knows enough to give him advice or teach him? Has the Lord ever needed anyone's advice? Does he need instruction about what is good? Did someone teach him what is right or show him the path of justice? No, for all the nations of the world are but a drop in a bucket. They are nothing more than dust on a scales. He picks up the whole earth as though it were a grain of sand. All the wood in Lebanon's forest and all the animals in Lebanon's forest would not be enough to make a burnt offering worthy of our God." Verse 17, "The nations of the world are worth nothing to him. In his eyes, they count for less than nothing, mere emptiness and froth. To whom can you compare God? What image can you find to resemble him? Can he be compared to an idol formed in mold, overlaid with gold or decorated with silver chains? Or if people are too poor for that, they might at least choose wood that won't decay, a skilled craftsman to carve an image that won't fall down." Verse 21 says, "Haven't you heard? Don't you understand? Are you deaf to the words of God? The words he hath gave before the world began, are you so ignorant? God sits above the circle of the earth. The people below seem like grasshoppers to him. He spreads out the heavens like a curtain and makes a tent from them. He judges the great people of the world and he brings them all to nothing. They hardly get started, barely taking root, and he blows on them and they wither. The wind carries them off like chaff." Verse 25 says, "To whom will you compare me? Who is my equal?" asked the Holy One. "Look up to the heavens. Who created the stars? He brings them out like an army, one after another, calling each by its name. Because of his great power and incomparable strength, not one single one is missing. O Jacob, how can you say to the Lord, how can you say the Lord does not see your troubles? O Israel, how can you say God ignores your rights? Have you never heard? Have you never understood? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of all the earth. He never grows weak or weary. No one can measure up to his depths of understanding. He gives power to the weak. He gives strength to the powerless. Even youth will become weak and tired, and young men will fall in exhaustion. But those who trust in the Lord will find new strength. They will soar high on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and they will not faint." God, we love you so much and we worship you this morning. We declare that you are great and we declare that you are good and no one can stand beside you and compare to you, Father God. We simply focus on you and declare that you are good and you are great. And everybody said amen. Hallelujah. Give God a hand clap of praise this morning. If I could just get a little bit more of my voice in these monitors up here so I don't scream all morning, I think y'all appreciate that. But God is great and God is good. If I could just pick a simple way of describing God, I would just declare to you that he is great and he is good. And all that scripture I just read to you, it starts off declaring the greatness of God, does it not? Who can compare to God? We're all like grasshoppers in his sight. No one can stand beside the Lord our God. But then it goes on from talking about his greatness to declaring his goodness, that those who trust in the Lord, he will renew their strength. Amen? The Bible declares that God is great and God is good. And if I can just tell you this morning that from the greatness of God flows his goodness. Amen? From the greatness of God flows his goodness. And we'll have a tough time understanding the goodness of God if we don't understand his greatness. It'll be kind of difficult to understand what exactly God can do for me if all we're focusing on is what God can do for us and give me. If we don't understand the greatness of God, we'll never put him in his rightful place. Amen? Amen. He is great and he is good. The Bible does not attempt to defend God. The Bible doesn't even try to prove to us God's existence. You know, we do that a lot of times. You know, we have a little chip on our shoulder and we're going to say, you know, I'm going to prove to you that God exists. The Bible doesn't try to prove to us that God exists. It just simply assumes his existence. So if I say to myself, man, my sister made an awesome cheesecake at home and it's so good, I wish everybody could have some, you know? And I'm telling you how great the cheesecake is. And Miss Sue comes up to me and she says, you don't have no cheesecake at home. And I'm going to tell her, okay, well, yes, I do. Yeah, what about, how do I go and try to prove that there is cheesecake? Can I take you to my house and show the cheesecake? I mean, the Bible just tells us that God exists. What does it say? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Right. You know, I mean, we can kind of fight with that if we want to, but it just tells us it is what it is.
That's right.
In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. No, he didn't. Yes, he did. I mean, do you want me to prove it by science? No, I don't really have a whole lot of theory. I'm not that smart. I can't really prove it to you. Just go outside and look at the sky and, you know, tell me, you know, who made it, you know? So the Bible just simply assumes God's existence. And having an accurate perception of God is key when it comes to our faith, when it comes to our faith walk. If our perception of God is inaccurate, then our entire Christian walk will be inaccurate. So today I want to take the test to describe to you the indescribable. All right? Could I just attempt to describe the indescribable? Would y'all be okay with that?
Yeah.
Y'all gonna help me out just a little bit?
Yeah.
Y'all gonna kind of talk back with me? I told David I'll be a little bit more conversational. He said, you want us to talk back to you? I was like, well, give me an amen every now and again, you know? So today I'm gonna try to describe the indescribable. So who is he? It's the title of the message. If you're taking notes, you can write that down. And if you're not taking notes, you can write that down. Perhaps if we get our perception of God right, then perhaps we would serve differently, do you think?
Yeah.
If we got our perception of God right, then maybe we would give with a different attitude, or we would give. If we got our perception of God right, perhaps we would show others the love and compassion that God shows us. If we had an accurate viewpoint of God, we would definitely worship differently. If we had an accurate perception of God, then praise and worship would not be about how good and how great the music is, but praise and worship would be about how good and how great God is. All right, I know you don't want to step on any toes this morning. I want to be sensitive to you. But if we had an accurate perception of God, praise and worship would not just be a once-a-week event that we come to and expect for the pastors and the singers to kind of hype us up. But if we had an accurate perception of God, we would come in this room with a song already in our hearts, and we would just join the worship team in praise and worship. Amen? If we had an accurate perception of God, praise and worship would just be a lifestyle for us.
There you
And in everything that we would say and do, it would be to glorify God. That's only if we have an accurate perception of God. But if we view God as if he's just someone who can give me, and we go to God always with the hand open, then how can we have an accurate faith walk? So I want to just kind of give you some attributes of who God is. And I want to declare to you that God is not some genie that you just get a little bit of something out of and he just disappears after you get your three wishes. I want to declare to you that God is not some magician who has just a bag of few tricks that don't even last. If I could just go ahead and let you know that God is not like some slot machine that you ignorantly go up to and try to get something out of, and maybe you do, and maybe you don't. But understand that God is perfect in all his power. Understand that he is perfect in all of his goodness, and he is perfect in all of his wisdom. Understand that God is simply great, and he is greatly to be praised. Amen? When praying to God, and even in our general faith in God, there are some attributes and characteristics that we should know and simply be aware of. And the attributes that I'm going to go over this morning are called the unique attributes of God, or the immortal attributes of God. And we call them unique because they're unique to us. These are attributes that God has that no one else can have. There are attributes called mortal attributes of God that are common to us, such as love and compassion and patience. We all are familiar with these attributes, but we don't have them to the extent that God has them. But the attributes that I'll focus on this morning are the unique attributes of God, meaning that they are characteristics that mankind cannot possess because of our mortality, and therefore they are unique to us. So attributes number one, if you're taking notes, God is omnipresent. God is omnipresent. That means that he is everywhere all at the same time. Omni meaning all, present meaning present. God is everywhere all at the same time. This is unique to us because we can only be at one place at the same time. But if I take you to Psalms chapter 139, verse 7 through 12, and it's on the back behind me, it says, "Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast." Verse 11 says, "If I say, surely the darkness will hide me and the light become night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you, and the night will shine like day. For darkness is as light to you." Understand that there is no place where God cannot see you. There is no place that you can go where God is not there. Jonah, the prophet, was foolish enough to purpose in his heart that he would disobey God, and he purposed in his heart that he would run from God. He said, "I'm going to run from God and hide from God and not do what he tells me to do." I think children are interesting creatures. And some kids are so funny that when they're trying to hide from you, they'll just close their eyes. Have you ever seen a child do that? They'll close their eyes and they think just because I can't see you, you can't see me. I think it's hilarious. This is the case of Jonah. And sometimes it's the case with us in our personal lives. We'll say, "I'm running from God, I'm hiding from God. I'm not going to go to church. I'm not going to hang around the preacher. I'm not going to do these religious duties because I'm hiding from God." And God is saying, "You silly child, where can you go where I am not there? You can go to the nightclub, God is there. You can go to the bar, God is there. You can even go shopping at Walmart, and believe it or not, God is there." No matter where you go, no matter how far, God is there. He's everywhere because he is omnipresent. He is an all-present God. He's in this room, and he's at your house right now while you're not there. God's in this room, but he's also across the world in China. God is present everywhere. There is no place where you can go that God cannot see you. Don't think that just because you stay out of church that God can't see you. Don't say that you're running from God. Jeremiah 23, verse 23 and 24, it says, "Am I a God who is only close at hand, says the Lord? No, I am far away at the same time. Can anyone hide from me in a secret place? Am I not everywhere in all the heavens and earth, says the Lord?" The omnipresence of God. So what does this have to do with us? I mean, what's the big deal about God being omnipresent? The omnipresence of God, and a great theologian wrote this. He said, "The omnipresence of God should not creep you out or paranoid you as if God is some stalker. But it should comfort you knowing that God is there, knowing that God is here. And when you mess up, he is there to pick you up. And when you feel alone and you feel like you can't find a friend to lean on, understand that God is there to comfort you. If you feel like you're bound by sin and the troubles of this life, understand that God is there and he is willing and able to set you free. Stop saying that you are alone. Stop saying that you're running from God, because God is always there. Touch somebody and tell them he's there. Touch another person and tell him he's here. God is everywhere." Attribute number two is God is omniscient. Omniscience. To be omniscient is to have complete knowledge and to know everything. Do any of you have a friend who you would say is a know-it-all? You know, they say, you know, "I'm a know-it-all, I know everything," you know. They don't say that, but that's how they act, you know. Well, understand this. God is a legit know-it-all. He knows everything that there is and isn't to know. There are no secrets from God. God possesses complete and perfect knowledge of all things. Psalms 147, verse 5 says, "Great is the Lord and mighty in power. His understanding has no limit." Psalms 139, verse 1 through 6, and it says, "O Lord, you have looked through me and have known me. You know when I sit down and when I get up. You understand my thoughts from afar." He understands your thoughts. "You look over my path and my lying down. You know all my ways very well. Even before I speak a word, O Lord, you know it all." God is a know-it-all. Verse 5 says, "You have closed me in from behind and in front, and you have laid your hand upon me. All you know is too great for me. It is too much for me to understand." God possesses complete and perfect knowledge of all things. Not only does God know our actions, but God knows what we think about doing. This is going to make you feel real good. God knows why it is that you do what you do. This is where it's going to get a little personal. Jeremiah 17, verse 9, it says, "The human heart is the most deceitful of all things and desperately wicked. Who really knows how bad it is? But I, the Lord, search all hearts and examine secret motives." This is why I believe the psalmist prayed, "Create in me a pure heart and renew a right spirit within me." Maybe if our perspective of God becomes more accurate, then maybe our prayer life will become more accurate as well. Some of us simply use our prayer time with God to inform God of what's going on. Some of us use our prayer time with God just to simply complain to him about what's going on in our life. And I understand, I get it, I do it as well. If you're going to vent to someone, I think God is probably the right one to do it with, you know? But some of us use our prayer time just to tell God what's going on. And if God, I'm going to be funny, but if God could just kind of send you an email, he would tell you, I know. If he could write you a note after you could finish praying with him, he would write down and send it to you from heaven. He would say, I know, but thank you for telling me. I understand that God knows everything that there is and isn't to know. We would do better simply worshiping and praising God rather than just using our time with God to complain to him. We would do better asking God to give us wisdom on what to do, or just simply surrender the situation to him and have him take care of it. Now, this is where it's going to get real good at, and you're probably going to amen me really, really loud. We may want to use our prayer time with God to ask him to search our hearts and reveal the mess in our hearts and to get us right. Because sometimes we go to God praying about somebody else or something else, and God is telling you as plain as day, they are not the problem. It is not the problem. You are the problem. Oh, they didn't like that one, God. I'm breaking down just a little bit simpler for them. You give them an example. God, my husband is so mean and so rude. And God's saying, well, maybe if you change your attitude, he would change his attitude as well. Oh, God, I hate my boss. He's such a jerk. He's always on my back. And God is saying, well, maybe if you go to work and do your job, he'd lighten up just a little bit. Oh, don't praise God too much this morning now. Don't clap when it's getting really good. Don't clap for me when it's getting practical up in here. We go to God about someone else or something else, and God is saying, I want to reveal to you what's in your heart. You want God to fix the situation, but God's saying, I will fix the situation after I fix you. Oh, my goodness, that's good preaching. God is saying, I will fix the situation as soon as I go ahead and do some examination on your heart, kind of cut some of that bad stuff out. God knows everything that there is and isn't to know. You can go in your prayer time and think you're fooling God, but you're not fooling God. You can come and talk to me, and you can fool me sometimes. But when you talk to God, you're not fooling anybody. He knows everything that there is and isn't to know. So God knows everything that there is and isn't to know. So now I feel more self-conscious, right? I feel a little more uncomfortable. But we should not. We should be comforted in knowing that God knows everything. Because that means that he has the answer. He has the answer to your situation. It may not be the answer you want to hear, but understand he has a solution to every single problem. There is nothing too hard for God because he knows everything that there is and isn't to know. Amen? Give him praise because he is omniscient. Oh, I can praise him because he gives me money, but I want to praise him just because of who he is this morning. Who is he? I'm comforted that God knows everything. That means that he knows my strengths and he knows my weaknesses and he knows how to give me strength in my weakness. He knows my good and he knows my bad. He knows my successes and my failures, and yet he still loves me. I think that's worthy of praise right there. That God knows everything that there is and isn't to know about you, and understand we're not that great, but he still loves us. My mind can't wrap around it because his understanding is greater than mine. You mess up one time, I don't like you. I mess up 10 million times, God still loves me. It's crazy, isn't it? God is omnipotent. Going on to the next attribute. God is omnipotent. This is one of my favorite ones. God is omnipotent, meaning that he has all power. He is all powerful. He has ultimate authority. He is sovereign. He is over all things and all creatures. To practically explain it, God has the ability to do any and everything, for there is nothing impossible for God. Right. Maybe this would help us in our faith walk, huh? There are some things that your mom can't help you with. There are some things that your best friend cannot help you with. There are some things that your spouse can't help you with. I'm going to put all these people in one category. There are some things that your doctor, your lawyer, your politician, and your pastor cannot fix. But understand that Jesus said in Matthew 19, verse 26, that with man it is impossible, but with God all things are. You know your Bible. With God, all things are possible. There are some things that people cannot do for you, no matter how much you love, trust, and respect them. There are some things that people cannot do for you, but God has the ability to fix any and everything, for there is nothing too hard for him. If I can just brag on God really quick and tell you that God is so powerful that when he speaks a word, it becomes that. If I tell you that that chair right there is blue, you're going to say, Charlie, you're crazy, or you're blind and just guessing. But if God says that that chair is blue, then all of a sudden that chair turns blue. God spoke the whole earth into existence. So what does this mean to us? What is the big deal? God's all powerful. If he speaks the word, then it is what it is. If God says that you are healed, but the doctor says you're sick, well, if God says it, then that settles it. If your bank account tells you that you are broke and you need, but God says that you are overflowing, then understand that all of a sudden you are the head and not the tail. All of a sudden you are the lender and not the borrower. If God says it, then that settles it. My goodness. God is transcendent. Transcendent mean that he is different and independent from his creation. This is a good one. The essence and the nature of God's being and his existence are infinitely greater and higher than any and everything he has created. God exists apart from his creation. God himself is uncreated. He just always has been, and he exists apart from creation. But God being transcendent does not mean that he is afar off. It does not mean that he is unreachable and impersonal. Matthew chapter 28, verse 20 says, Jesus says, I am with you until the end of the ages. Isaiah 41, verse 10, God says, fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Understand that just because God exists apart from his creation does not mean that he is unreachable. But because he is omnipresent, that means that he exists apart from us, but yet he is so near to us. It's hard to understand, but it is what it is. So although he is far above all things, he is still near. He is outside of creation, so he is not bound by the laws of creation. That makes me feel good about my God. Though he exists outside of creation, so therefore he is not bound by any laws of creation. That means that God can break natural law to get the miracle that you need. That's what that means for us. And moving on to God is eternal. God is eternal. Eternal means to have no beginning and no end. Psalms 90 verse 2 says, before the mountains were brought forth, or ever you had formed the earth and the world, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. So from everlasting to everlasting, he is God. Well, that's a long time, really, you know? Really, it is not time, because it's everlasting. God exists outside of time. There was never a time, and there will never be a time when God does not exist. God is timeless, therefore he is not bound by human time, because he is transcendent. So therefore, he's not bound by the laws of creation. So therefore, he's timeless. This is why God describes himself as the I am, because he is expressing his continual, infinite, and eternal existence. So how old is God? God is not old because he does not have an age, because he exists outside of time. So what's the big deal? What does this mean to us? This means that God was, is, and always will be relevant. Living in a culture that wants to make God irrelevant. It doesn't matter what the media will tell you. It doesn't matter what culture will tell you. But God is the one who is holding all this together. God is the creator of the universe, and he is still holding it together. He existed 1,000 years ago. He will exist 1,000 years from now, because God is eternal, because God is timeless. He has no beginning, and he has no end. He exists outside of human time. God is not old. God is not outdated. But he is still very active and very present in everything. God created time, and because he's transcendent, he is not affected by time. And if there's someone that you can count on to always be there. You know, I read a recent study that says 1 out of 1 people will die. You know? But there is one who will always be there. There is one who lives forever. There is one who you can count on, come hell or high water, to always be there. Come black plague or what was the recent one? Ebola. God will always be there. No matter what happens, he will always exist. Moving on to the next attribute, God is unchangeable. Kind of goes with eternal. God is unchangeable, meaning that all of these characteristics that I'm going through right now will remain perfectly the same no matter what. No matter how much time goes by, God does not change. I understand that we change, you know. I wake up every morning and I change my mind. I decide the night before I'm going to wake up at this time. The alarm goes off in the morning and I change my mind and I hit snooze. Understand that God does not change his mind. Understand that God is not unsure of himself. Understand that he is very confident. And when his word goes forth and when he makes a promise, it is what it is now and forevermore. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. Understand that God is not like us. We change and we forget promises. We don't lie, we just forget. We change and we evolve, but God does not. He is who he is, and he does what he says that he's going to do, and that is that. Look at your neighbor and tell him, that's that. It is what it is, because he's unchangeable. Understand that the next attribute says God is perfect and God is holy. God is pure and complete in character. He is totally without sin. He is absolutely right in everything that he thinks and does. Psalms 145, verse 17 says that the Lord is righteous in all his ways and kind in all his work. As human beings, we have the capability of sinning, for we were born into sin, right? But God is so holy that he cannot sin. Such purity that no defilement is capable of even entering him. Such purity that the angels in heaven who are in his presence day in and day out, they say to one another, trying to describe him, saying, holy, holy, holy. Theologian A.W. Tozer said this, we know nothing of divine holiness. It stands apart, unique, unapproachable, incomprehensible, and unattainable. The natural man is blind to it. We may fear God's power, and we may admire his wisdom, but his holiness we cannot even imagine. And then theologian Charlie Craig came behind him and said, imagine someone so pure and perfect that sinning in any imperfection is impossible for them. It is unimaginable, but it is God, and it is who he is. And I can praise and worship God simply because he is holy and he is perfect. This next attribute is the most debated attribute of all, probably. And I only have the time just to tell you the hard facts and tell you that I am right, and I don't have time to debate with you. And if you would like to debate with me, you can go ahead and talk to my debate personnel, Jonathan Hernan, right there. Kind of wave your hand. If you want to debate, go ahead and talk to him. But God is triune. He is three in one. God is one single being who has revealed himself in three distinct, not separate, but interrelated, completely unified persons. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Each person is fully divine, fully God, and each one is equal with the other two. Yet they are not three different gods, but one. In theological terms, one God in three distinct, interrelated, and unified persons is called the Trinity. In Matthew chapter 3, verse 16 through 17, it says, and when Jesus was baptized, immediately he went up from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him. And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove, coming to rest on him. And behold, a voice from heaven said, this is my beloved Son with whom I am well pleased. So we see all of the Trinity active all together right there. So what does the Trinity mean for us? What's the big idea? In super, super short, you have God the Father who is created, who is the creator of all things and maker of the heavens and the earth. You have God the Son who is God in human form coming to earth, teaching and living a perfect life, who was crucified, becoming the ultimate sacrifice for our sins and resurrecting after 3 days. And then he ascended to the heavens, and now we have relationship with God through his Son, Jesus. And after he ascended to the heavens, he left us with God, the Holy Spirit, who leads and empowers us to do the will of God. So in super short, you have a Trinity right there. And that gives you all of the attributes of God that I will go over this morning. So we've gone through this unexhausted list of who God is and his immortal attributes. And I find that I am grateful for all the things that God has done for me. And I look forward to see all the things that he will do for me. But my praise and worship is not based off of what I can get out of God. But my praise and worship is solely determined from who God is. And I will worship him for who he is, not for what I can get from him. Amen. Go ahead and stand up on your feet with me this morning. I will worship based off of who God is, not because of what he's done. And I will declare that I will worship God for who he is. And I will bless the Lord at all times. And his praises shall continually be in my mouth. This may be a good grow-up moment for some of us. But we worship God not based off of how good or how great we're feeling. But we worship God based off of how good and how great he is. Amen? We worship God because he is omnipresent. We worship God because he is the three in one. We worship God because he is all-knowing. We worship God because he is transcendent. We worship God because he is the eternal one, the unchanging one, the holy one. and He is the three in one. We worship God simply because He is great and He is greatly to be praised. So go ahead and give God some praise this morning. Go ahead and worship Him for who He is. If we could just take a quick praise break this morning. Hold up a second. If we could just take a quick praise break this morning and just praise God because He's great and greatly to be praised, and for a second just put aside the things that you want, put aside the things that God can do for you, and simply focus on His greatness, simply focus on His goodness, simply focus on His awesomeness. Go ahead and give God about 30 seconds of praise this morning. Praise Him, praise Him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt His name together. When the storms of this life come, when the troubles of this life come, I will not sing a song of sorrow, but I will sing a song of praise to the God who is able to speak to the storm. I will sing a song of praise to the God who is able to speak peace in my wartime. I will sing a song of praise to God who is able to speak healing in my time of sickness. It doesn't matter how I feel, but it matters about who He is. Give Him praise. It's about who He is. It's about who He is. Hallelujah. So who is He to you? Who is He to you? I can tell you that He is my provider. I can tell you that He is my inspiration. I can tell you that He is my comforter. I can tell you that He is my guide. I can let you know this morning that He is my empowerment. He gives me the power to do His will. I don't know who He is to you, but I can just go ahead and tell you that He is simply God. And His goodness lasts forever. And His greatness will last forever. And His mercy endures forever. And His love for you goes on forever. That's who He is. That's who He is. So do you know Him? Just give me something soft. Do you know Him? Do you know that He is love? Do you know that He is grace and mercy to the sinner? The greatness of God is a blessing to us. He knows all that there is and isn't to know about us, but He still loves us. He is compassion to the lost and to the hurting. He is patient and He is slow to anger. He is truth. He is faithfulness and He is just. Do you know Him? Do you know Him? Do you have a relationship with the Holy One? With every head bowed and every eye closed this morning, if we can just be real this morning, you would say to me, I don't have a relationship with God. I understand that He's great and all of that, but I just don't know Him personally. And if this morning, if you want to come to know God, if you want to understand His power through His Son, Jesus, then I want to declare to you that today is your day of salvation. If you don't know God, understand that He is your connection to your purpose in life. Understand that He is the power to do what it is that He's called you to do. Understand that He gives you redemption from sin through His Son, Jesus. Hallelujah. Understand that God is great and God is good. And understand that His greatness and His goodness goes on from generation to generation. Understand that God is very relevant. Understand that it is not you who's just holding your world together, but he holds all things together in the palm of his hand. He's great and he's good. So if we can just take a second and just worship God based off of who he is. Just take about 2 minutes this morning and just lift up your hands because he is perfect and he is holy. Just lift up your hands to the one who is omnipresent, who is omniscient. Forever.
Thanks for listening to the Gateway Family Church Podcast. For more information about Gateway, visit www.gatewayfamily.cc.